Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome everybody back to Astro Minds 2012, and we're looking forward to another great night. We have Adrian. Are you here?
Yes,
we're here tonight. And again, we have a special guest tonight that we're now starting to do a two-hour show, and we have Elena Radford with us. She's a shaman from Peru, and looking forward to having her speak tonight, and let's go ahead and invite her on. Elena, are you there?
Yes, and thank you for being part of this show, for letting me be part of this show to be with you and Andrew, so thank you for that.
You're welcome, could you tell us, what the topic of your show is, what you're going to be, talking about tonight?
Yes, tonight we're going to be talking about twin cells and also past lives, and twin cells to me are frequencies a lot of people see them as a romantic frequencies, but it's bigger than that. They travel together and they complete a specific, alignments that benefits the whole consciousness, and because it's based so much in pure love and past lives that we get to talk is related to that. How I have seen in so many of my clients that have past lives that they meet and create amazing things together. So that's what I would like to share tonight and talk about that tonight.
And what can you do, with your tools? How are you able to help these people who want to reconnect with their twin cells, or they're having, problems or blockages, preventing them from meeting with their twin cells?
I think mainly is every time that we find people that have twin cells that work in that frequency, one of the biggest problems that they have is the fact that they can no relate to each other, because they have been so much damage in conversations of the third dimensional world that it's just they don't remember each other. So the more they clear the energy, the more that they understand and they recognize them, and they can have beautiful relationships. In fact, you're talking about twin flames or twin cells. People can just go into the feeling and remember some of those relationships and how beautiful they are, and how they can, that's when they find the fulfillment that they're looking for. That's when they find the completion of things. This is when they find that life is worth to in every level. It's a really beautiful experience.
That's so wonderful, and we have a couple of callers. I'm not sure if you're ready for any callers to come on right now, but we have a couple of callers waiting. Would you like to invite one on be able to talk to this, see if they have any relationship problems or whatever they might be experiencing right now?
Of course, okay. I would like to talk to them.
Okay, let's go ahead with Mary Lou. You're on there. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, and what's your name and where are you from?
My name is Mary Lou, and I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
That's wonderful. And again, we have a special guest here tonight. How can we help you?
I was particularly interested in hearing about twin flames, and I wasn't sure if I have a question yet.
Okay.
Well, maybe you could, express to us what you've been experiencing.
Oh, I'm going through some past life stuff, and I'm not sure if it's twin flame related or not.
Would you mind sharing a little of that experience?
It's so big, I don't even know where to start with it.
It's usually in that way. When it comes to twin cells or twin flames, it's usually in that way. There is so much that comes together, and is the, you know, is the purpose of bringing them those pieces back together. Yeah, it can be a little confusing. So if you can just give me the bigger picture, I'm sure a lot of people will benefit from the story that goes with it.
I'm looking at the past life as the things in one particular past life that I'm looking at appears to be the opposite of what I'm doing right now. Like, everything's the total opposite. Like, I apparently came back in a reaction to that and trying to do everything totally in the opposite direction.
What do you mean in opposite direction?
Like, I lived a life with some wealth, so now I have issues with not wanting any material stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember anything specific from that?
I don't remember the past life. It keeps coming up, and then I keep documenting it, and it's like this person had a real life, and it just feels like I am reacting to it.
Okay, so it's possible, if you look into the language of the universe, without illusion, it's not meant to, I mean, really in the reality of things, it's not conceivable that we get to create the things that we get to create in scarcity without having things. It's always meant for us to have every tool to create powerfully. I mean, that's every time I go into past life, it's always like that. But then something happens in a past life, or something happens in a specific moment where we choose something different. And we choose to have a different experience. Yes, because a block or a limiting belief was created. So I think you keep going into the past life to be able to remember what is the block, what is the belief system that was created for you so you wouldn't be in abundance in this lifetime. So the idea, what your body is requesting, what's the frequency requesting, is to be able to shift whatever happened in that lifetime so the abundance can come back to you in this lifetime. Is
right.
That making sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So if you want me to go in to see what happened in that lifetime?
Yes, I would love
okay.
that.
All right, so let me tap into your energy. Okay, so you had a sister, and you had a good relationship when you were very young, but later on in life it became a very competitive relationship. And when two female energies compete the way how you competed with her, one of them will always be very, very hurt. It's usually the person who creates with a heart, this is what I'm looking in this past life, that got hurt, which is you, because when you have a big heart, sometimes we don't think about how to hurt the other person to defend ourselves. So in that, she took a lot of opportunities away from you. And so those opportunities that were taken away from you in the lifetime were manifested in this lifetime. Is that making sense?
Not seeing how it fits, but go ahead.
Okay, so let me give you one of the things that was taken away from you, okay? And one of the things that was taken away from you is the ability to have self-confidence in the things that you want. Okay, so let me share a life, past life with myself, okay? In a past life, I was in this place that was in Peru a long, long time ago. And at a lifetime, I was like probably 19 years old, and I was in love with this man. I love him so much, and we were a great team. And one day he came to me, and he said that he got somebody pregnant. And so to my surprise was, you know, how did that happen? I was not even aware of it. And so, and because of the community where I live at, he was told that he needed to marry the other woman. So he married the other woman and he moved away. But in the process of this reality of what's going on, one of the things that was stolen from me was my trust and my self-confidence, and that I can actually be in a relationship with, I can trust in someone. So when I went back to Peru, you know, years after that, I mean, I didn't even remember that. But when I went to this specific town, the memories start coming back to me because it was the time for that to complete and let it go. So when I went into that energy and I chose to bring my self-confidence back, then I start creating more abundance in this lifetime. So that specific experience was shift to a different reality. So regardless what happened in the lifetime, what you need to understand is that you have the power to make the change in this lifetime. You don't have to be a victim of the situation, even you're aware or not. There's some of that energy. I was a victim of the situation, but when I chose not to, then I was able to create the things that I wanted in this lifetime. Is that making a little more sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay.
I have extremely documented the lifetime that I'm interested in. And there was
okay.
a sister, but I'm not so sure that comes into play with my issues of today.
Okay, so let me check into your issues of today, okay? Your issues of today, because I'm reading your energy, is that you're a very, very powerful woman. You're very determined and decisive about what you want to do. But in the same time, you have to analyze every situation before you move forward. And it's okay if it's coming from the right place, but if it's coming from the place where you don't trust who can be, who is helping you to get the outcome, it's because there's a damage that has been done in the subconscious level. And that's what's related to that lifetime. Is that
okay.
making sense?
Yes.
So you need to go into the records that you have the lifetime and start looking for that specific thing. What happened here? To me, that I lost the ability to move forward in my trust. I have a client, extremely smart, and she went to Harvard Business School. And she did well, but by the time that she was ready to perform and make the money, she couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. It's not that she was not qualified. Something inside of her didn't let her to move forward and be able to create the abundance that she wanted to create. And there was... Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Okay. Okay, beautiful. So let's go back into the lifetime right now, and you don't have to give me all the points of reference, but look into what happened that you created that was so powerful. In my lifetime, I created a relationship that was so powerful, and he came to me and said, oh, by the way, I got somebody else pregnant. That was just basically telling me that my powerful creation in a relationship was not worth that much because he now had to move on. So I never married again in the lifetime. And so this is something that is happening over there. You couldn't complete something because something happened and your creation stopped. So let me give you another way how I work is I'm going to give you some energy, okay? And this is energy, this is a frequency that if you place it in your heart, it will rewrite the past life. It will just change it to a higher outcome where it will set you free to create what you want to create here. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so I want you to place your hand.
All right.
And if you have experience going into past lives, you will feel this energy. So I'm placing it in your hand. And then I want you to bring it into your heart. And I want you to say three times, I receive, I receive, I receive.
I receive, I receive, I receive.
There you go. And like my ancient people will say, this gift will allow you, and you will remember again how to fly, how to be free into the choices that you make. So you will start seeing the changes like in 2 days or 3 days, and some of them are drastic, but sometimes take a little time before you can go and see some of the outcome of those changes. But what is your next question? I sense you have a question from the lifetime.
The question?
From the lifetime. I'm sorry, I was just reading your subconscious.
The question would be the relationship with the person from then to here. What's going on? What would go on there? I mean, do we both heal, or does any
you both heal? You both heal. You both will heal. I because that frequency that I gave you is just going to rewrite the outcome in the past, rewrite it for your higher self and for his higher self. Now, we have to be very careful with this, because if he intentionally meant to hurt you, what's in that lifetime, then in the present, this lifetime, he has to be accountable for the damage.
There was no intent to hurt me.
Okay, then it'll be just fine. It will give you more space to create what you're looking to create.
But what I don't understand, I mean, I can document who I was and where I was, but I'm not totally in the mind of where I was in that life. I don't know who the real person was. I have my idea, but I could be wrong.
Okay. So when I start remembering past lives, I chose not to remember them with my head, but with my heart. So what you do is you remember the feelings from that lifetime. And that will guide you into where is it at and how it happened. Because the mind can get in the way. I have gone into past lives where I chose to go into my mind, the way how the things work in this society nowadays, you know. No, it was very different. Past lives, I mean, if you're looking into one that is 300 years ago, 200 years ago, they didn't have computers, they didn't have a TV. The way of socializing was different. So if you go in your mind, you will create a reality there. But if you go with your heart, then you'll see, you know, I was hungry, I was cold, he was nice to me, and I love him so much. He had to leave and never came back, and I'm resentful for whatever it is, the feelings start coming back. So what you need to get is, if you're doing research and development into this specific lifetime, what you need to do is do the research and development of the feelings that you had in that lifetime.
Well, I'm thinking that this particular person was a bit materialistic.
Okay. So what does it mean to... Okay.
Socially concerned about their social rate ranking and the stuff they had.
Uh-huh. But then again, this is where you do the research and development. By them being in that space, did that hurt you? Or was that a benefit to you? What happened in that feeling of him being in that space? Because sometimes when I get to work with people that come in the past and they were in a multi-marriage, you know, polygamy, let's say that, then what is the feeling that the man was having to be able to have two or three or four wives? It's not what you think right now. It's what was he thinking? What did he create that was the damage? And how by you seeing the reality of things can give you a better outcome, which in this situation is abundance. Is that making sense?
Right. I would say that all the stuff and all the money did not make this woman happy.
Okay. So, but then again, I'm looking into the story. It is possible that this woman just got married with him because she needed to prove something?
She wasn't married with this person.
So what happened with this? Okay, so let me... Okay, so... And you don't have to share everything.
Yeah, no.
What has... Look into the person who has money, and then I want you to think into if he was happy or was not happy with her. So you kind of think in these things. You want to know if he was happy or was not happy with her?
I don't have to look too far. They divorced. They couldn't have been happy.
What was that again?
They divorced. They couldn't have been happy.
That's right. You're still looking at past life with the assumptions of these days.
Yeah,
that's
but
why
those are two different people. She divorced her husband, and the person that I'm looking at was not her husband.
Okay. So, this is another thing that I have to do with my clients. What is the intention of going to that past life and trying to remember that?
The intention is to... Apparently, I came back here this time with a mission to fix it. And you can't fix what you don't know you broke. So first, you have to figure out what it is that you screwed up. And second of all, you have to figure out how to fix it.
Okay. So let me show you how to do it. You don't have to figure out the whole story. You have to figure out the feeling. Okay, so if you go back in the past and you see her sad, then you go into that lifetime, and if it is your energy, then you, just the way I gave you energy gift, you give her energy gift so she can be happy there. And then you let that energy recycle in her body. You go to him and you say, whatever happened here, I may not know all the answers and take me a long time to figure it out. Meanwhile, I'm giving you energy gift so you can be able to balance your energy. And whatever happened here, it can have a higher source of resolution so that it can be solved. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
For instance, when I get good clients that have been sexually abused in the past, and I see them suffering in this lifetime, I'm not going to say, okay, tell me more about this. You know, how did it happen? I won't go into the source of the problem. I just heal the person right in that moment. Here's the gift. Place the gift in your heart, and that will allow you to remove yourself from what happened. See, in the reality of a shaman, you can change the past by giving energy of higher frequency in the past. So this is what we do with the work that we do with our ancestors. We recreate those energy gifts, we give those to people in the past, and then it changes. And then the benefits will come back here. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
One last question. I know this is insane of me, but I'm really hoping to actually document this life just as a document to others that this is real. Like, if I can find the facts and get it all to line up, I don't know, for some crazy reason, I feel this is very important to do, which is why I don't want to give out too much information, because if I ever get information from outside sources, I want it to be pure.
I understand.
Without me out telling the story everywhere.
Right. So what you have to do, if you want to get the sources to, the intention has to be very pure, right? So make sure that when you do this, it's going to be a contribution to the world. Because if you go into the space of trying to prove something, it's not going to go as smooth as you want it to go. It will happen, but if you go into, why can I be a contribution with this, then things start coming to you much easier to be able to align the information. Is that making sense?
It does. But, you know, it seems to me like if the story can be documented well enough, that it should be a contribution to the world, because it would make you want, it will make you question, if somebody tells you a far-out story like this, they can sound insane. But if they have it very well documented, they sound less insane. Does that make sense?
Well, let me tell the experience about this. It doesn't matter who you take it. If people are going to believe you, are going to believe you.
Right.
There is people.
Those who want to believe, they're going to believe no matter what I say. And those who don't want to believe, they're just not going to believe. But you can still make a real well-rounded story with as much facts as possible.
Yes, of course you can. Yes, you can. But the truth is that if it's well-documented, it's wonderful. But the important thing is that you know it's true. You know it happened. It's you knowing and feeling the experience that makes it much more real. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Thank you for sharing with me, and good luck
with
your project. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, we're gonna go with the next caller now, Elena.
Sure.
Okay, and this caller is from the 619 area. 619, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Elena.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi.
Good.
Is this Steve?
Yeah. I've been talking
to
you a long time,
Elena.
Steve,
we welcome you with Elena tonight. She's our special guest tonight, and we're going to go ahead and have you talk to Elena tonight.
Thank you. So, Elena, I've always wanted to meet my twin. So I'd like to know about our past lives together, if you could pick up anything.
Okay. So let me check into your twin soul.
Okay.
Okay, so what would you like to know about the past lives? A specific past life that you want to know?
Just anything that comes to you.
Okay. So there's one that's coming to me when you live really close to the ocean, by the beach. And you like the ocean, right?
I do.
Okay. So you're probably going to be feeling some things while I'm remembering this, okay, while I'm looking into this. And so it was beautiful. It's probably one of the reasons why it's hard for you to commit heart-to-heart with someone in this lifetime because of the experience they have with her there. So what I'm seeing that happening in the lifetime is that you were able to complement and communicate very clearly. So it's almost like, you know, she didn't need to talk to you. You just knew what she needed, and you can just provide that for her.
Right.
And it was in the same way. So when you create your music, you're looking for the connection.
Yes.
Is that making sense?
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. So what you have to do, if you want to be able to bring that connection back into you, take like a couple minutes in the morning,
okay,
and remember the sound of the ocean, you know, the wind around you and how it feels walking on the sand without shoes. And
yes,
always try to see yourself wearing white clothes, like a white shirt, white shorts,
okay,
or something like that, because that's the vision that comes to me. And then start creating more of those sounds or tones in your music. So it's like you're singing back to her, or be able to create that connection. Is that making sense?
Yes, it does. It does.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Are you feeling complete?
Yes. How are the webinars going?
What was that again?
How are your webinars going?
Oh, they're doing amazing. In fact, I had one today about twin flames, and it was a five-hour workshop, and it was amazing. I will have the recording available on my website next week if you're interested, and it'll be only $35, because I think it's time for people to start seeing that it's not as complicated as we think it is. As long as you tap into the frequencies, then you can start creating in that frequency. Even if you don't have the person, you know, get the benefit, the abundance that comes with the energy of the twin cells. Allow yourself to create the abundance. So it's a beautiful experience. How is California?
Yes.
Are you still in California, Steve?
Yes, I am.
How is
that
going?
Could you give me a gift in regards to this that I could put in my heart?
Sure. Okay, there you go. There's the gift.
Okay.
Oh, wonderful. Bring it into your heart.
Okay.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you, Elaine. I always love talking to you. Thank you, guys. I'd like to stay on and listen to the rest of the show. I'm glad you're 2 hours now.
Yeah, we're 2 hours now. Steve and Adrian's here with us tonight also.
Hi,
Adrian. Steve.
How's
it going?
Good.
Having a wonderful night.
Wonderful.
Talk to you soon, Steve. I'll be here next Sunday. I'll be here from now on every Sunday night for the first hour. So you're welcome to call as many times as you want to be able to support you in connecting to your twin soul.
Do you still have your other show? Because it's hard for me to call because I'm at work when you are on the air on Tuesdays.
I don't have the other show right now. I just have a message for 10 minutes. But what I'm going to be bringing to the market in the next 2 weeks is a class that will be $10 a week about twin cells, where I coach people in how to connect to this beautiful frequency they have been traveling to time, because this is the time now. This is the time where we have the tools, we have the reality, we have the connections, and I'll be doing it with my twin cell. So for
getting back
people,
to that, I do have another question. Is it true that twin cells have some type of a contract where they cannot be together for many years, or can you tell me about any type of sacred contracts they make before they come into the life?
You know, they're always connected one way or another. But what happens is the more illusion is created in the world, it's harder for them to get together. but they carry the same code. So when they communicate, they kind of like they have their own language of communication. So they do meet together, especially in these days, because we're changing so much in the consciousness. We're going to more clear understanding of who we are. This is the time for them to come. So it is a beautiful time to be able to co-create and be able to see these beautiful relationships that get to be the foundation for the new generations to come. So I'm really excited about it.
And they're brought together to work on something for the benefit of humanity. That's what I've heard.
Yes, they are. And when the new twin cells are coming, maybe all what they get to do is be extremely happy together. And just being in that energy, people will be, they will be very influential in what's around them. And people start healing on their own space. So they're literally a very wonderful foundation, a good example of the alignment of the atoms when it comes to the alignment of protons, neutrons, and electrons. That's the idea, to be able to see that.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Steve. You have a good night.
You too.
Elena, I just wanted to share something. I watched a video not too long ago, and it was about the twin cell energy. And what it is a lot of the light workers have created like a net around the world, and this is a net with all the light energy. And what's happening is, when the twin cell energies come together, it helps to make that net stronger around the world. And because a lot of dark energy is trying to, you know, it's almost like it's trying to make a lot of the twin cells forget, you know, about their, you know, relationships that they had in the past. And
right.
I just wanted to share that with you.
That's beautiful. And just to share what you are sharing with me, just to compliment, you know, the ancient people, the Inca people, we carry this knowledge that a long time ago in the time of Atlantis, what it kept the frequency of the city as high as it was, the crystallized frequency, the pure frequency, the purity of the heart, it was the twin cells energies. There were so many of them. And so then they started... Then this is the destruction of Atlantis is the separation of the twin cells. And so since then, the twin cells have been looking for each other to be able to go back, to be able to that frequency, to what it used to be in the high level of frequency. So when twin cells meet in this lifetime, they're recharged to each other. They awaken their energy gifts. People start becoming multidimensional. People start... you know, seeing symbols, start, it just comes a higher, it's an awakening, it's an awareness. And so it is really beautiful, because the more I get to work with them, because this is what I do, you know, I coach them, it is one of the most fulfilling experiences, because in my background and what I'm really looking to fulfill is, I remember my people of Peru, you know, I remember scarcity, I remember people being prejudiced to each other because being poor or rich. And so as a society, we have become so prejudiced that we separate people, we classify people and separate them. The energy of the twin cells is different. It brings the consciousness to bring, to bring things, yes, it's okay and it's beautiful to have your own identity. But to co-create together is one of the most beautiful gifts that they have. So my intention in bringing the twin cells together is to be able to overcome, in Peru, you know, what I call crime and starvation or third world class. And so the twin cells energies, I think they have the tendency, and I know they have the tendency to look at the big picture of the world. And so they understand that the foundation is to be able to co-create with somebody so happy in so many ways, and productivity and foundation, trust and love. And so these are the elements that we really need to be able to bring in these days. So that's why I do what I do.
That is so wonderful. And thank you for sharing that with us tonight. And Adrian, do you have a message for Elena tonight?
Yeah, I do have a message. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to mention that it seems like this year more and more people are becoming more aware of twin flames, you know, where a lot of people say that it was something something very old, and then some people say it's something very new. But I'm getting more and more people on my website that I work on, and they talk more and more about their twin flames, so it's kind of interesting to get in that conversation.
Okay, Lena, what was that you were going to say?
I was just saying that it's really interesting to see the behavior of the twin cells. Yes, it's an ancient knowledge, it's an ancient understanding, but we also knew through the different traditions, especially the Inca tradition, that this will be the time, the golden age, when these people will find each other and their love will take their consciousness to a higher level. So it's very exciting. To me, this is very, very exciting because, you know, hundreds of years ago, my people knew that this is one of the ways how we're going to be taking a new consciousness, a new direction. So I'm very thankful for it.
You know, that is so wonderful. And, you know, it just reminds me and, you know, and takes me back at, in the movie called The Celestine Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, it talked about different ancient scrolls that they had found. And on these scrolls, there was different insights. And I just wanted to share with you and the callers and listeners out there that the ninth insight. And what it said is, in this way, we participate in a long journey of evolution from Big Bang to life's ultimate goal, to energize our bodies generation by generation until we walk into a heaven we can finally see.
That's beautiful.
You know, it wouldn't that be amazing that we could, you know, bring all these twin cells together and lift, you know, the Earth's vibration, you know, and bring, you know, unconditional love, you know, back with state, you know, right where we need to be, you know, and so that, you know, man, instead of wanting to, you know, kill, would learn to love again. I just wanted to share that with you.
That is so wonderful. And I think one of the things that I'm experiencing in my space and, you know, with my clients and what I see around is that, like Andrew was saying, and I had other people saying, lately we're so worried about what to do, worry about money, worry about that somehow we have lost the sense of what's love about. And we have become, and I'm sorry that I was talking to my social media manager, that's who was sharing this with me, and saying that we're just so busy now and we are so careful about our feelings not to be hurt that, you know, love has become not the first priority anymore. And these twin cells have become a reminder, are becoming a reminder of what's life about, what's love about, what is foundation about, what's really the most essential thing. Because just like a child, if we don't hug or kiss a baby and we don't nurture the baby, eventually they die or they, you know, they lose some of their identity in the process. And as a society, this is literally what has been happening by pushing away the nurturing love or the understanding of love or not having that as a priority anymore. We have lost so much direction. And so I welcome the twin cells energies because they are so full of love and they're so full of direction that, and it just happens, you know. It's very nice to be in that, not only because it's fun to feel their experiences, because they can be fun when they're together, really, really fun, but also because it's a reminder of the energy of love.
And that is so wonderful, and we thank you for sharing that with us. And Adrian, do you have anything else to share?
I just wanted to mention, too, that in this year, we've been noticing, and I know that you were telling my dad about Elena, about we've been noticing a lot of changes that have been going on. Mm-hmm. Can you share with what you've been feeling?
Sure. Let me tap into my light work and see. For the month of May, some of the changes that I get to see, because there's so many twin cell energies being integrated into the same consciousness everywhere in the world. Even if they don't remember themselves yet, they're pretty close to remembering that. So May gets to be a month where there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be, you know, heartbroken. They're going to be breaking relationships that are not working for them, or they're going to have a bigger vision about themselves and their lives, what's not working. And these things are going to be happening just to welcome the new energies to come. So it's like this. It's not because somebody's trying to hurt you or there's energy attacks. It's nothing like that. This is more like a awareness, a reality that will hit you and say, this is not working. There has to be another way. And so there's a lot of that energy coming from the month of May, and so get ready for that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's what's been going on then.
Yeah, it's started already. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That makes sense, because me and my dad have been feeling those energies and couldn't put a finger on it.
Yeah, and like you know, and they move, and when there's energies that are breaking relationships and breaking in all way about your own personal understanding, they usually get to be very heavy, and it comes like with the stomach aches a lot of times, but mainly comes with a awareness of like, I'm not feeling complete, I have to let something go, and I exactly don't know where it has to go, but eventually you figure it out, and then you're ready to let it go. You don't even have to fight it anymore, you're just kind of ready to let it go. And in the month of June and July will be more, especially July will be more into embracing the new energies, embracing the new understanding. I think June will be more into the energy, okay, this is not working for me, so if I'm going to move on, then I need to complete in some things I need to do here, and when I complete doing this, then I'm getting myself ready to welcome what's coming in July. That's how I feel it's going to be happening. I don't know a specific event, but energy-wise, we're going to see a lot of them.
Wow, that's amazing. What do you get from that, Dad?
I just wanted, you know, as you were talking, it was, again, reminding me, you know, of some of the insights, and I just wanted to share this, the insight number 4. And it says, from this perspective, we can see that humans have felt insecure and disconnected from this sacred source, and have tried to take energy by dominating each other. This struggle is responsible for all human conflict.
Wow.
That is so true.
That is powerful.
Yeah.
Wow, we're in for a ride, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah.
We are. Let's get, you know, and it's quite interesting because it's already happening. I have several clients coming and saying, my stomach hurts so much. It has no stop. I'm taking a medication. It's not really working, right? And that's basically the stomach where we carry the memories of our everyday experiences. So when I go and tap into the energy, it's already happening. The body is already getting ready to release some memories of consciousness that are not working anymore. So, yes, I do get to help them. And most of the time, 90% of the time, the pain is gone, but there's a 10% left. And I go like, you know, in 2 months from now, it'll be much more easy to take 100% of the damage. But right now, in the energy where we're at, we're just working to 90% of capacity.
It's so funny you say that, because my stomach was bothering me this past week.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my
god.
And
usually it hasn't, so that's really interesting.
Yes. And it has to do, and I'm glad you're there, Steve, because it does have to do a lot with the communication with your father. You know, who was your point of reference as a male energy? So, like I say, it happens a lot because now men are thinking, we need to get let go of that conversation of the father and son that didn't work. Because the new twin cells are coming with a new, I call frequency of the neutron, are coming with the new ideas, the new ways of or creating new realities. So it's actually fun to see happening that. I mean, I'm no excited about the pain and the sorrow that people go through with the stomach pain, but if you really look into the big picture, it's just ready to let it go. So I'm glad.
So what is it a symptom of?
It's the symptom of the physical abuse or the mental abuse that fathers do to sons to try to teach them to be a man. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so that is what's not working. That's in one of the manifestations. And that specific thing for male energies having the stomach. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because is that because that's the solar plexus?
Yes. Okay, let me one more time. Your third eye is the energy of the electron. Your heart is the energy of the proton. We're talking about the atoms. And in your stomach represents the energy of the neutron. So the energy of the neutron is the male energy. So the male energy is anything that has to do with the outside world. So your working habits are learned from your father, from the relationship. Yeah, maybe your mother stayed with you at home, but is your perception who is your father who gave you, the ethic, the identity in the way how you work. So if things are not working, you're not making money, and things are happening, all that is being reflected in your stomach. And it has to do with clearing the male energy or who was your father or the five roles that you have in your life. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Thanks for explaining that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
I wanted to share one more thing with you, Elena. As you were speaking, again, it was reminding me of a speaker that, me and Adrian have both listened to, and her name is Dolores Cannon. She's a hypnotherapist. She's been doing it for over 30 years. And one of the things that she's able to do is take people back in the past lives, with hypnotherapy. Mm-hmm. And what she's found out that from these people that we're going through some, again, you mentioned about these, changes, and these are all earth changes that we're going through right now in preparing for the new world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of people are going through different illnesses and sicknesses and stuff because, the body's changing right along with the new world to help, prepare our vibration so that we can ascend into the new world. I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. And just to add to what are past lives, when I look into past lives, there are two ways to look at them. There's past lives where, the energy has been so beautiful that sometimes we don't even remember them because they are already a contribution to us in the present. And, that is light workers. Light workers can be your twin selves from the past, that are traveling with you, that they're training you to be who you want to be. That was my situation. My main light worker was my twin self that eventually I met him. So those memories are beautiful, but then we have those memories of the past lives when your twin cell or maybe somebody else hurt you, that's not allowing you to be in the frequency that you're supposed to be. So what's happening right now is those past lives are being manifested in illusions. In illusions, some type of illusions are diseases or getting sick. So the illusions are being manifested in your body by getting sick. And why is that happening? Because time and space is changing. Things are happening much more faster. So when things happen faster in time and space, the manifestation in a physical level, it will have a manifestation in a physical level. And that's why people have stomach aches or pain in the shoulders or headaches, or sometimes they get really congested and they cannot talk. Because we're expediting time, it's getting faster and faster and faster. You're manifesting the past in your body so you can release it. So past lives are important. Mm-hmm.
It's funny you'd say that because I've been having those symptoms too.
Wow, what's happening to you?
I'm having a hard time sleeping at night. And sometimes I'll have some of those symptoms where I'll have a moment of a stomach ache or more anxiety attacks.
Anxiety.
And this usually happens on a full moon.
And I completely understand, because most of my clients that are coming right now are anxiety clients. And it doesn't matter if they come from, you know, if they don't have money or they're wealthy. Anxiety has become a major thing right now. And so in the anxiety they are released in the past lives. So when they come to me and I say, okay, let me look into the past lives, and I just get to talk about the past life, and they're aware of the past life, they start making new choices, then the pain goes away. And the sleeping, you know, the ability not to sleep is because, again, that has to do with time and space, because your brain is changing. The way how you're resting, the way how you're looking at the outside world and your role in the outside world, all that's changing. So if you're sensitive to what's around you and you're gifted, then chances are that while you're sleeping, you get to be aware of the changes that are going on. Is that making sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it fun?
Yeah.
I'm just so excited about it. I mean, I know, considering that it's not easy to go through all these different things, I just get to see the new generations to come in 10 years or 5 years or 15 years from now, you know. It's just going to be everyday conversation about past life, how do I clear that, or I just clear that, and people are becoming more multidimensional, being more sensitive to what's in the world, and being more sensitive to what's in the world, to what is in the world, then it's much harder to go and do damage to somebody, because you're already feeling what the other person can possibly feel by imposing something or by punishing them or by creating a situation that's not comfortable. So, yeah, I think overall the big picture is nice, because people are getting to feel more sensitive. And the more sensitive we get to be, the more we can relate to others, and we set boundaries to help each other instead of hurting each other.
You know, that's interesting, because, you know, during 2012, you know, a lot of people kept worrying, we're coming to the end of our time, you know, according to the Mayan calendar, and, you know, the world's going to end and everything else. And myself, you know, I feel that the world that we knew is ending, you know, and that we're into a higher consciousness now, you know, and people are beginning to awaken. You know, we're still seeing a little slow process, but, you know, more and more, you know, people are starting to speak the truth now and express, you know, how they're feeling, you know, and we're finding that out, you know, just from a lot of the people that we've come in contact with and done readings for. I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you for sharing that. One of the things that has been happening in my personal space is, and, you know, I really never had an anxiety. I have worked with a lot of people, and I know how hard it is to be in a space of anxiety. So the last few days, I felt anxiety in my space for the first time, and the anxiety was coming in the sense that I was letting the past go, but I don't know what's coming in the future. So I didn't have something into, because there's such a little point of reference at this point for a lot of people, including myself. I can feel the feelings, but I really don't know exactly what's the outcome, right? So there's not really that much that you can grab on. There's not much that you can hold on in what's coming, because it's so different. It's so different. And so that creates some type of anxiety too, not knowing who are you going to be, or what role are you going to be, or how are you going to be making money, or how is going to be the relationships that come in the future, because we're so used to the energy of control. And so in the past, and the always, we have been always being controlled by something. And so when I look into the future, I don't see that much, you know, when the new energies are coming. Control become kind of like cigarettes. You know, you don't see that many people smoking these days. 50 years ago, everybody did. It was a cool thing to do. But nowadays, not that many people do it. They're aware that it will damage you. So I think in the future, it's going to be in the same way when it comes to the energy control. People will be aware of how damaging it can be. So just looking from that point of view, what is the new energy that's replacing control? And so because they are just formatting, they are just creating themselves. And so it's a point where it's very, very unpredictable. And this is the reason why twin selves have to come nowadays. This is the reason why we have to be aware of past lives, because the more clear that we get to be in this, the more clear we get to have a foundation for what's coming. So I spend a lot of time with my clients going into these things and clearing these things, because I really don't want them to go into pain, stomach pain, anxiety, and things like that, because it's much heavier to go into that.
That's amazing. And Adrian, now, what else would you like to share?
Well, I'd just like to mention, too, I was talking to an individual online, and I was talking to him about, is it possible for spirits to get stuck in a past life when they cross over? And he said it's a possibility, and the reason why they're there is for a reason. And I was just wondering what your views are on that, Elena.
Yes, it is very possible to get stuck with in past lives. Let me give you a good example. Okay, pretty much, really, if we're going back to the past lives because we're stuck. That's the reality of it. I had a client who was, you know, just to be specific about that, is when somebody's in love with someone in the past, and the love does not go away, but they die, so there's always part of them going back to that experience in the past, and if it has been a fulfilling experience, and they didn't complete it. So there are situations like that that are very essential that we get to take care of nowadays, because if you complete those past lives, then you focus on what's coming in the future more than just rewriting or recycling what happened in the past. And most of the times that I have witnessed this is that when they go back into the past and complete that experience, they meet again in the present or into the future in a completely new, fresh energy to have that ability to be together in that frequency of love. And that, I guess, to be a big part of the twin selves, too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
So it's exciting.
That is. Anything else you want to share, Roy?
Well, I just wanted to share that, you know, this twin cell energy, you know, a lot of people, you know, think that, you know, that they'll never meet their twin cells, that they're going to keep going through bad relationships. You know, the main thing is, if you could dream and see, you know, who your heart desires, you know, you have to manifest those things into your life, you know, and let go, you know, things that didn't work in the past, and allow the universe to, you know, provide, you know, that special someone into your life. And reason is, I just wanted to share a little story. When I was in the military, you know, I had gone through different relationships. I didn't know which way really to turn, you know. And I kept praying and, and meditating to meet my, you know, special me, you know, and I wanted to meet that special girl, you know, and I had a picture, you know, and I dreamt about her, and I could see her in my dreams. And it was less than 3 months, well, less than 2 months after I got out of the military, that's when I met my wife. And this was interesting because she was going one way and I was going the other way, and we just happened to meet. And then when we met, we talked and we had some laughs together and a few drinks, and I wanted her number, and I didn't have a piece of paper to write her number on, so I thought, well, I want to see her again, and you know, I hope that, you know, if I write it on my windshield, that I'll see it in the morning. And so I wrote her number on my windshield and got up the next morning, and I could not see her number to save my life. And I thought, well, I guess I'll never see her again. And then 2 weeks later, the sun was shining, and it, there was a glare on there, and I could see the number all the way across my windshield. I called her, we dated, and 3 months later we were married. And now we've been married for 41 years. And that's Agent's mom. Just wanted to share that with you.
That's beautiful. That's really, really beautiful. You know, I think to me, twin selves, like in your situation, how long have you been married to your wife again? 42 years?
41 years.
41 years. And with the twin self energies, it seems like every day is a new experience, it's a new adventure. There's always so much to co-create and to share. They're so full of possibilities and manifestations. And again, you know, that's why I like working with these energies, because there's so much that can be done in those frequencies, and everybody benefits from that. That's the beauty about it.
You know, I just wanted to share another thing that, you know, a lot of people, you know, when you do meet your, you know, twin self, you'll know right at that very moment that, you know, your intuition is going to tell you, you know, that's that special, you know, half of you that, you know, you've been looking for. And this is, you know, without a doubt. You know, and I've told this to my son, Adrian, when, you know, you just haven't met that special person yet. And once you do, you'll know it without a doubt. I just wanted to share that with him.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I wanted to say thank you for having me in the show this time.
Well, again, we thank you for joining us, and we love the energy that you put out and the messages that you have for all of our callers and all our listeners. And we're looking forward to seeing you again with us next Sunday at the same time.
Wonderful. I'll be there. And again, thank you very much for the opportunity. And all of you have a wonderful, wonderful night.
Thank you, Lynn.
Okay.
We'll see you,
Lynn. Bye-bye now.
Okay, Adrian, is there any more messages you have? We still have 1 hour left on our show.
I could pull an inspirational card for everybody.
Okay, that would be a good one.
Okay, I'll grab my angel card.
And then, could I get a reading?
Sure.
Yeah. Thanks.
I'll pull one for you, Steve.
Thanks a lot, Adrian.
Uh-huh.
Are you in Las Vegas?
What'd you say?
Are you in Las Vegas?
No, we're in Utah. Oh,
okay.
Mormonville.
That's our plan someday. That's
yep.
where we want to go and entertain.
Yeah, we're going to be in the opposite in Sin City.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Okay, well, the card I pulled is acceptance, and it says, and this is from the angel deck, it says, see yourself and others through the eyes of the angels with unconditional love and acceptance. In this way, you will inspire and lift everyone in the highest potential.
Okay.
So I'm going to read basically what that means.
Okay.
here. Okay. Huh, that's weird. It's almost like the angel are kind of like not wanting me to find it here. Okay. Okay. It says, you've received this card to help your relationship with yourself and others. Next time you're tempted to judge yourself or someone else, harshly pray for their health and happiness. Instead, more positive, instead of this, more positive route filled of self-esteem and money and healing relationships. Notice how much better you will feel when you think positive about yourself and others. Don't try to control the situation or change others. Let go of the tendencies to force things to happen, and you'll receive your desired or better outcome more peacefully. When one door closes, another one will open for you.
Okay.
So, anything you want to share with that, Roy?
I guess my guide did tell me that there's some, you know, like Elena was mentioning, you know, that there's a transformation going on right now. So I feel that there's some huge changes that are coming your way, Steve. And
cool.
This is in the real near future.
Beautiful.
See, one of the biggest things, and me and Adrian have both been noticing that things are manifesting a lot quicker right now.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever, you know, your desires are, you know, focus on that and then, you know, keep manifesting that and it'll come, you know, a lot quicker.
Oh, great.
So what I'm getting from that too, Steve, is that another doorway is going to open up for you, even if you decide that you want to move on with a different business decision.
Okay.
That door will open up for you, and if you just the way things should go or the way things are going now, then your relationship will heal from that. It'll get better.
Okay.
So. Because I kind of feel like they're intertwined somehow, like your relationship with your business. That's where there's a lot of conflict.
Hmm.
Well, one of the biggest things is for a lot of people is accepting change.
Yeah, change.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's really difficult for some people.
With me, I kind of have a fear of success on a subconscious level. So I'm working to eradicate that fear.
That's probably why it brought up acceptance, you know. It's just letting it go and accepting things the way they are.
Right.
And, you know, it's like that fear that you have is something that comes from your childhood, you know.
Okay.
And that's what I'm getting, is it comes from that time where, like you say, it's on a subconscious level. So you have to go back to that time, you know, with hypnosis and, like Elena says, rewrite the process, you know.
Yes.
And that will remove that fear.
Okay.
You know what's interesting is you were talking, Adrian, it was reminding me back when I was younger, and this was the first time I decided I wanted to jump off a high diving board.
Oh, my God.
And I walked up all the way up the stairs and walked right to the edge of the diving board, and I looked down, and I thought, no way. This is way too high. I'm not going to jump. And I thought, I'm going back down that ladder where it's safe. And there was a, you know, pretty good-sized lady, you know, taking up the whole ladder. She because I'm going to give you two choices. Either you jump or I throw you off.
Right.
And said, I'll go ahead and jump. It'd be a lot easier. Once I jumped, and I was up and down those ladders all day long. And a lot of it's breaking the fear.
Breaking the fear.
Yeah. And then, you know, and why is it that, you know, we tend to, you know, put, some, you know, fear into something and it really wasn't nothing, you know. We're the ones who make
it. The fear just grows and grows and grows.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does build on you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to, you know, share that message with you.
I appreciate it. There used to be a couple ladies that would call your show all the time, Shannon and Sheena. Do they ever call anymore?
We heard from Shannon not too long ago.
I think Sheena was from Florida. And I don't know, I think Shannon was from Pennsylvania, but they would call all the time, and I never hear them anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shannon calls in once in a while. We've heard her on, haven't we, Dad?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, she got to talk to our teacher, the one who taught us hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because he started going into her subconscious mind. He's really good with that.
Right.
And that was the last time we heard from her.
Yeah, she's kind of a different person.
Yeah.
Like, she'll come in and out. And
yeah.
I don't know, like, she'll just disappear for a whole month and then call back in.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, she has a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
That's our Shannon. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we love her,
though. You know, but if we look at it, you know, all of us are going through something, you know.
Well, of course.
Yeah. You know, we're all experiencing something right now.
The horrors of the world.
Yeah.
Like it if you're going to bed, but...
Until everything changes, you know, we'll all continue.
Well, I got to say good night, you guys. Thanks so much for the reading. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you for joining us, Steve.
God bless you.
You're always welcome back.
Thank you, Roy and Adrian. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you.
Namaste.
Namaste. Let's go ahead and... we'll go ahead. Mary Lou, are you still on the air? Hello.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah. I just wondering, we're doing readings right now. Would you be interested in the reading?
Sure.
Adrian, are you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, and what would you like to ask?
Me?
Yes.
Okay. Do you see anything coming up in my love life?
Okay.
Okay, did you want me to pull an oracle card on her?
No, I want you to use the chart.
Want to use the chart? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And
what it is explain to her what you do with your charts, Adrian.
Well, with my charts, I go into relationship, career decisions, health issues. And what it does in the percentage chart, it allows me to go in on the percentages based on your connection with this person, if you're connected or not on an energy level. And it can also tell you if you're connected on a physical and energy level or a subconscious or unconscious level. So So it goes into all kinds of different kinds of information. And I use a pendulum, and it will swing to that particular answer. So I'm going to swing the pendulum and see if you have a connection with this person on a physical level. To what degree? Okay, and it's saying that you have a connection to this person at 50%, and that's right where you want to be, so that's really good. The reason why it's going to 45% is because it looks like there's a connection, but there's also a disconnection, and that has to do with, like, some kind of confusion or something that's going on between the both of you.
Okay.
Like a misunderstanding. But your connection with this person is very strong.
Okay.
And it looks like a good outcome. From what I feel from his energy is that he's a really good guy. Like, I feel like he has a higher vibration about him. He's just really confused spiritually right now. Like, you're the spiritual one. He's very spiritually confused.
Okay.
Now, is this somebody you've met or somebody?
This sounds like a friend.
Okay. So it is somebody that you know.
Yeah.
Somebody okay. You like.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there is an interest there, okay? So that's kind of where you've built up that energy. And it's interesting that Steve would bring up building up, because it's like you can build up all kinds of different energies. You can build up love. You can build up friendship. You can build up trust. You know, you can build up all kinds of energies if you keep working with it, you know? And it's the same thing with, you know, sicknesses and viruses, I think, you know. And it could be best friend, or it could be your worst enemy. So it just all depends on what your intentions are or what you're focusing on.
Okay.
Now, is this relationship, have you known this person for a while, or have you just met them?
No, I've known them for a long time.
Okay. So you both have a good understanding of each other then?
I have no idea.
Okay. Hey, then you need to find out what the percentage on that is.
Okay. I'm going to go into the relationship compatibility, and I'm going to look at what makes them compatible.
Okay.
Your first question is 40%. That was your question. And now I'm going to see what makes them compatible.
Okay.
On his part. And then the one that it's swinging to is responsibility. And so I'm getting that what really attracts him to her is that she's very responsible in his mind. And he likes commitment and spiritual health. So spiritual health could be different things. It could be like going to somebody that's a practitioner that does Reiki, or somebody that does hypnosis, or anything like that. But it can also be somebody who is a light worker like you, which is why he comes to you. Because he feels that energy, he feels that vibration that you put off, and that draws him to you. That's what attracts him to you, and that's what makes you compatible with him, is what it's saying. From him, that's in his mind.
Okay.
So now, I'm going to see what attracts you to him. Oh, says you're looking for conditional love.
Conditional love?
Yeah. It's also saying this is a karmic debt. Interesting. His intentions are good. Yours is good. This hat, also your energy is being drawn to emotional toxicity. What do you get from emotional toxicity, Roy?
That there's something that is not right in this relationship. Because it's becoming sort of toxic for you. And what do you feel is missing in your relationship?
We don't have one. We're just friends.
So there's nothing there other than friendship.
There's something there. It's not ever been manifested.
So that's the toxicity. Yeah. Have you ever?
What I'm getting is that she's needing emotional toxicity, and that's why she's being drawn to him. So whatever other people that have emotionally drained you in the past were very toxic to you. And this is why you come to meet him, is because he is a natural healer himself, which he is not aware of. And he emotionally helps you with the toxics that are in your body. So he's healing you in the process, too, with his friendship.
All right.
The reason why it hasn't manifested is because all those things that I've told you have not come to, it hasn't come to the surface yet, but it will.
Okay.
So there, like Roy said, there's still some things missing that haven't come to the surface yet.
All right.
Does he know your feelings towards him, and has he ever expressed his feelings towards you?
He knows. He keeps his distance.
Okay.
You ever have people that are there, but they're not there?
Yeah. Main thing is, how does it feel?
It feels good.
Yeah.
Another thing I'm bringing up, the reason why he's distant from you too is because he's kind of going through a cleansing too himself. He's kind of going through emotional cleansing. That's kind of what I'm getting too.
Okay.
Because you know how Elena was talking about, like, our bodies are going through different things. Because we're shifting with the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's going on with his body. Same thing. It's shifting with the earth.
Okay.
And he don't know what these changes are. That's the hard part. Because he's not, you know, spiritually open like you are.
Okay.
So these changes have been hard on his body, I just went through a transformation with my body. I got the shingles for the first time. And, I mean, this was the very first time in my whole entire life. Never had shingles in my life. So what I'm getting is with all these earth changes, it's been affecting him.
Okay.
He's not grounded, you know. And that's the whole thing, is we need to learn to be grounded and live in the moment. If we don't live in the moment, we live in, you know, we become destructive with ourselves.
Okay.
What sign is he?
Virgo.
Virgo? And what sign are you?
Libra.
And what are you getting from that, agent?
So what I'm getting is, if he's a Virgo, he has a hard time staying in the moment because his mind analyzes a lot and questions things. And Virgos have a really hard time to learn how to love without conditions. And I think that's why it brought up conditions, is
yeah.
Because that's why you're with him, is the difference between conditions and unconditional love. See, that's why I think that's why you're with him, to learn those lessons.
And usually if there's a condition, they have that condition to protect themselves.
Yeah, Virgos do. They're very protective.
Yeah.
They're very protected of themselves, and they're very territorial too.
Wow.
And they get very jealous and envious of others. Well, for an example, I'll just give you an example for a Libra. If you piss off a Libra, they're not going to hold a grudge against you. They'll get even with you.
They want to get even, huh?
Yeah, because they believe in justice. And so, for an example, if you say something to, I have a friend that's a Libra, and I said something rude, and he got mad, and so every time when I say something, he'll either criticize or he'll make an excuse because he knows that it irritates me. See what I mean? That's what I mean by justice with Libra.
Okay.
And they remember that you pissed them off. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely remember. We might not torture you, but we don't forget.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a Libra too?
I am a Libra.
Oh, okay. So I was explaining basically what my friend, yeah, you guys are all about justice and balance and beauty and inner beauty. You're ruled by the goddess Venus. You know, and that's I'll get my justice, but I won't hold a grudge. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And Virgos are really, I mean, they're airheaded. They're very airheaded. So, his head is always up in the air. And that's why he has a hard time concentrating on you, because he has 100 different things going on in his head, and he's up in the air.
Okay.
They always think about the big picture in life, you know, what they're going to do next and how they're going to do it.
How's the relationship between those two signs?
It's not very good, because Aries are like, I mean, not Aries, Virgo is like one of the most strong signs and the elements.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they're very airheaded, and they're stubborn. They don't listen to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it can't work. It can, because Libra can balance anything out. It can balance any sign out. Any. That is the beauty about Libra. It could be with any sign. It can balance it out.
Yay.
So.
Yeah.
So consider yourself lucky in this lifetime, being a Libra.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's 12:30.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
I say, what house rules?
What house rules my chart?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what's my moon sign? I can't even remember any of that right now.
What are you getting from that agent? Nathan, are you there?
Sounds like you lost him. Hello?
530. BNN.
Hi.
Hello.
How's it going? I think you had some technical difficulties.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hold on. Hi. Hi, can you hear me?
I hear you, but sounds like you're in a tunnel.
Okay. I think maybe... What's going on? Are you technically okay now?
Yeah, sounds better now.
I think you were off the air for a couple minutes because we couldn't hear anything.
Yeah, we got, for some reason we got cut off.
Okay. Well, I would like you to do a reading for me.
Okay.
Around my fear of loneliness and aloneness.
Okay. Your fear of loneliness?
Yeah, there seems to be a big fear for that, and I just can't. Although it just happens every weekend, basically, for the last couple of weeks, and every weekend, especially like Saturday and Sunday, I feel lonely. And
okay. So what I'll look in my emotional chart, because loneliness is an emotion and so is depression.
I don't think it's depression because I'm out and about, but whatever.
No,
but maybe
not depression.
Maybe the feeling is depressive, yes.
Is there something that you feel guilty about or shameful about?
I feel shameful about my eating habits.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that last time.
I don't know what I told you, but and it's just not gotten any better. And that's, I think that's the best part, and the fact that I'm... not financially independent, it kind of makes me feel ashamed about who I am.
Well, it's saying you definitely need a lot of healing in yourself. So it's saying healing in self, so that has to do with, like, something more internal, like, it's not really like your physical, it's more of like the spiritual, like more of the soul. Does that make sense? Like healing yourself.
I feel like I'm doing that on a daily basis, but today I felt off. I feel like I missed a day, or I feel like I was somewhere else and I came back or something. I feel like I missed a part of my day.
Well, you remember when Elena was talking about, I don't know if you were on here when Elena was talking, she's a shaman healer, and she came on and she was talking about, like, how, like, we're moving so fast through time and space, how things are moving so fast and we're trying to catch up. Does that make sense?
Well, I don't know if that makes sense, but to me it's more like I almost felt like I was taking a break at one moment, and I thought there was an earthquake, and it was like my mind had like a little earthquake. What does that mean? Like, you feel like something shifted in your mind, and you're like, what just happened? That's how off I feel.
Well, a lot of it is, well, let me see here. Let me see if this is the real emotion that you're feeling. Is this from the unconscious mind? Okay, it's saying it's from your unconscious mind. To what degree is this consciousness? 50%.
But
to what degree is this present time? 40%. To what degree is this from the past? 30%. So everything that you're experiencing is in the present time, but you have very little in the past of anything that has affected you, but a lot of it's in the present.
But what was this mind shifting about? What happened in my mind?
Well, what's happened is your unconscious mind is in the past and your subconscious mind is in the present. So this is what caused the confusion with your mind. And I was telling you that we're going through all these earth changes.
Yeah.
Shifting. Well, your body is responding to those earth changes. And that's why you're going through all this anxiety and unconscious depression and beliefs that are not really true.
Yeah, I definitely felt that today I went back into being 11 or did some habit that started at that time. Maybe it's just coming out and cleansing out. It just passing through me, you know? It's not going to inhibit me, but it's just passing through me the way things used to be in the past. But,
It's bringing up something to do with unresolved issues that you have from your past.
Yeah, unresolved issues of having a mother that was not blaming her, but trying to heal or find out what I can do more to let this go, because I feel like my mother was not present. She was just there as a body, but she wasn't really there. So I think that's why I went into a food addiction or some food habit. And I think that's related to that, but why my brain thought there was an earthquake, you know, maybe there was an alignment going on and maybe it's a good thing. I thought it was a good thing, you know, at least it shook me and I'm like, whoa, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I mean.
Well, that has a lot to do, like you say, with the alignment of the cells in the body and the nerves and everything that you're aligned to, and these emotional attachments that you had back when you were having those issues.
Yeah, I think I just didn't know how to help myself when I couldn't talk to anyone in that time, you know, but now I can talk to people and it's just a different place. So I mean, I don't know. But thanks anyway. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just saying that you're in the fear of panic and terror right now.
Oh. So what can I do?
Not a really good place to be.
Fear of terror and what?
The fear of panic and terror.
Yeah, and where is that coming from? Like 30% from the past and then 40% from now?
Let me see where this one's coming from. Is this coming from the present time? To what degree? Yeah, it's coming from the present.
Well, is it related to not work, having a consistent income maybe, or?
I'm saying yes, that's one of the issues.
Well,
and then the other are just unresolved issues that you have to deal with.
Well, that's just the life as it is, you know. Can't just change anything. It's the way it is right now.
And that's the whole thing. That's kind of like when I pulled the card for Steve on the the Oracle card, I don't know if you heard me, but it, you know, from the angels, it said to let go of things that you cannot accept.
Yeah.
So, same thing with your situation, same thing with mine. It's just something we have to accept and just move on.
Yeah.
But we want to be in control, you know what I mean?
Exactly. We want to be in control. I mean, go read a book, you know? Go read a book or, you know, do
mm-hmm.
something else. No, no, I have to... I have to
control
the situation. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like we get in that bind, and it's like, well, for an example, Steve's in a business where it's hard for him to just let that all go because he's built it up and up and up, and it's like his whole life evolves around with what he's doing. So it's kind of like, I can't just accept it and just let it go.
Yeah.
I have to be in control of the situation. See what I mean?
For me, it's like, oh, I'm alone. It's Saturday. I have no
That's
friends to
really
go
hard.
To. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I have to control this feeling because I don't want this feeling to overtake me. That's even worse. That's even scarier. That's depression.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to look at me, and I just wasn't okay today. I just was not okay. And it just was obvious I wasn't okay. And my eyes were kind of hurting. I should have just, you know, I don't know what. I was so disconnected. But, you know, instead I just wanted to control it. And I did. I controlled it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so much easier to control the situation instead of just accepting it, allow the angels to help and assist. See, we do, the thing is we do God's work.
Yeah.
But we can only do so much of God's work, and then the rest is up to Him. So it's like, do we accept it or do we try to control it? That is the choice that we have.
And then
the other choice that we have is, do we become the victim or do we become the rescuer, you know? And that's where a lot of people become the victim, you know, of certain situations.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I feel like I've been the victim and I've been the rescuer, and
mm-hmm.
and it's like, if I don't control, like, trying to control the situation, I spin out of control. I know that doesn't work either. And then the other choice is to trust and work with God and the angels and that force. Life
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that life is easier or more bearable, but it's better. Maybe it's just there is no real choice, but you just choose your experience, you know? You choose your reality, and actually, there's only one reality that's the real, and that's the one with God. And, you know,
exactly.
There's reality and there's non-reality. And if you don't choose reality, then you usually get lost and it gets worse. And then you think that this experience is real, too. Like, your mind tricks you into believing, like, hey, yeah, this is real, this is life, and it's totally not. But to have that
right. Inner
experience, to have that experience beyond what I'm used to, I think...
See, that's where we've been lied to.
But you know what? We have not been lied to. We've... Actually, what was the thing that I came up with? It wasn't that we've been... Yeah, we've... What happened is, you know, when the songs of, like, they've taken away, or whoever decided or whatever was decided... taken away our freedom. Our freedom is that gift of God. They've taken it away.
Exactly.
and made everything scientifically and universities around ego-based ideals that we've actually submitted to. We've submitted to those ideals and standards. Okay, measure.
I mean, if you think about it, we've been not our own property since the day we came to this earth.
Exactly. We've not been our own property. Our freedom is stolen from us.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's but our ancestors have been in the same situation, and
They did, and they had the strength, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know who they are. I don't know who is that they. I mean, is there really a they out there, you know, or is it just our fear again that's saying they? Is it just that we are here to evolve and to that all paths lead to God and there is no they? It's just that we are powerful, but maybe we're not ready to hear the information. And now we're getting maybe 20% of the whole story, at least. And it's being passed to the common people, you know? Common people. You know, the one that
right.
eats hamburgers from McDonald's and that reads The Secret on the side, you know?
Yeah. Well, that definitely makes a lot of sense what you're saying, because I've been thinking a lot about that today. Actually, so it's kind of like synchronicity to me, because I've heard more than once how, also I've heard a lot of, more than once how, like, how we allow certain things to come into our body, like emotional things, kind of like, you know, like whether it be shingles or HIV or cancer. All those things are choices, and all those things are emotional things, and I've heard those things more than once, how we just allow that into our lives, and because we have choice, you know, God gave us choice.
I think partially of that is true, but then you have, like, your soul that decides to experience that on this life. How much choice do we really have, you know? Like...
Right.
We don't really know. We know and we don't know. That's the whole fact of the matter. It's a mystery. And that
that's true.
Powerful unconscious forces that lead us into destruction, and we have to navigate our way through that system of destruction all the time. Maybe. For some people.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I know that even with, like, possession, there has to be some kind of contract that is behind the possession, not just the choice of being possessed, but there's a contract behind it, a spiritual contract.
Yeah, I think so, because why does it happen to that particular person and not another? You know, a contract.
True.
Yeah, and the more we release, the freer we get, but not everybody wants to do the work. The worst thing is that the kids, the children, you know, that it's just like they're brainwashed. They think that this is real, all of it, you know, and it's just, they're getting the same downloads, like you're worthless, you're disconnected, you're unlovable, abandoned, you know, same story.
Right.
It just keep on, we're breeding the same story over and over again. We're breeding the same toxins into our kids. And some mothers think they're not, but if they don't give the right example, the kids are still going to get, I'm worthless, you know, or they're going to think that their moms are worthless. And you know what I mean? Like, if you don't heal yourself, it's just not going to happen.
That's true.
So I really don't know where this world is going to, but I feel like the only place worth living is the dedication to God in a way, but how that's going to look like for me, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it definitely, we know it's not heading in a very good direction.
No.
But, you know, even things that don't always seem to head in a good direction, usually there's always a light at the end of the tunnel. And we can only hope.
Yeah, I mean, because if there's no crisis, people don't want to change. If there's no crisis, then why bother doing anything about it? You know?
That's true.
So there needs, that's why the crisis is coming, because we don't, the consciousness is like, it's like we're in a big eruption. We don't want to take in toxins anymore. It's killing our bodies. So what we do is we as a society, we're just puking up the dirt that we've been taking in and believing and working like slaves. And that's no life for nobody. And that's just, we're going into a new thing. And so whatever's happening is good. At least there's no Hitler, or we're not having a crazy, maybe there is a crazy war somewhere, but at least it's not a world war. And I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it's just.
No, we don't. And I think it's just a matter of accepting and then letting it go and then, you know, realizing for what it is.
Well, yeah, whatever it is, we accepting or just knowing that we have the choice to be happy anytime without an excuse.
Exactly.
And that's true. But how to get there, you know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Well, I'm a long ways, you know, as human, I think.
Yeah.
Human evolution has come a long ways.
Yeah, so there's there's a long more, there's a lot more to do, you know, I can see that.
There is.
But thank God for our teachers and our guides that are on this plane and not on this plane, that are definitely guiding us in these non-ordinary reality, you know.
Exactly.
And some people,
so many questions.
Yeah, but some people don't believe in these things, so whatever, you know.
Yeah. Well, as long as we believe in these things, I mean,
yeah,
and we can teach our children and learn from all kinds of different experiences.
I guess that's what I felt as a child, like someone that never understood me. So I thought, oh, the world will be the same then or something. And I just feel like I missed a chunk of myself during my childhood because I was so miserable all the time with these two parents that just were like enemies almost in my life. And
right.
Yeah, just so bizarre, you know, that was a real life experience for me, and all of a sudden that's gone, and I have to just let it go and grow up, you know, grow up.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you have any other callers? I don't want to take up too much time.
We're off the air right now.
So what do you do in your life? Are you a reader? Are you doing this work?
Well, I do this on the show with my dad during the weekends, and then for the most of the time, I'm working on a website called Ornum.com, and I work off of that website, and I do other websites, do readings on them. I also have my own personal clients that I read outside my apartment, and I'm fixing to go back to working for the military, the National Guard, doing some security out there. In the meantime, thinking about going to school and just continue to build on this website that I'm working on, build my clientele up.
And your dad, he does the same thing?
And my dad, he does the hypnosis, and he also does the readings on there, and he also works at sets up events for different companies to do like demos and demonstrations and different things like that for food.
Oh, cool. Like, Dad seems to be
retired.
Very supportive of you and your work.
He is. He's very supportive, and we've done this together for a long time, since I was about 16 years old. I'll be turning 30 here on June 18th, and we've been working with each other ever since then, since I was a kid. And
and your mom?
My mom, she's not as metaphysical.
Okay.
But she has an understanding with what we do. She supports us in what we do, but she's not as metaphysical. And she's more of a caretaker. She takes care of kids, and she's kind of retired right now.
Yeah.
And she's opened up her for a business to take care of children.
Oh, like an after-school daycare?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Wow, that sounds great.
Oh, yeah.
She has
extra children.
Yeah, I'm thinking of eventually doing something like that if that's on my path. How to be more independent, you know, independent.
Right.
But that takes a lot of courage.
It does.
To do that on your own and work with these parents and stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you have other brothers as well, or just you and your...
And I also have an older brother. He lives in Colorado. He used to be in the metaphysical, but he turned more of the Christian because he felt like that was his faith, and he had a bad experience used to be a ghost hunter in Colorado, and he ran into a bad experience, and it frightened him and his wife, and then so his wife had a spiritual experience where she was demonically possessed.
Oh, gosh.
And so that kind of scared him in a lot of ways, and so he joined the Christian church after that.
And he's still with the same wife?
Yes. And so they have a lot of differences in their beliefs and things like that. So they're kind of going through their own spiritual transformations right now.
Yeah, wow, that's pretty intense, man. That what you just
that
shared.
Is.
Yeah, that's a big turn off, you know. If you start messing around, it's like, yeah. No, we just put the love and light of Archangel Michael.
Exactly.
Us, and there's a reason why that happened, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So that was good that your brother stayed with her, stuck around. It's very amazing.
Well, I'm kind of glad that, in a way, that he found God in that way, even though it kind of closed him off to other things when you join religion or organization.
Yeah.
But in a lot of ways, I'm glad that he found God, because when I first knew him, my brother, he wasn't as close to God. He wasn't very, he was more of the mundane. And, now, my older brother, that my mom's first son, he committed suicide recently.
Oh, gosh.
And he did it out of depression, and he was bipolar, and he was very close to being a millionaire. I mean, he was very rich, very smart, intelligent, very right brain.
Yeah.
And, well, anyways, he was a computer engineer and an air pilot. And he had a wife and two kids. And we just found out that he committed suicide because they wanted to diagnose him for bipolar, and he didn't want any treatment. He didn't want to be treated because he would have lost his air pilot license, so he got really depressed, and that's what caused him to go to suicide.
That was the final stroke, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's scary, yeah? That someone else would control him, freaked him out, I guess. That's something beyond control. The disease was beyond
That's why I talk about acceptance, you know? And instead of him accepting the way things are, it's just, it all boils, it just fills up.
Why would he have to lose his pilot thing? I mean, that's just not fair. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's maybe what he could have helped other people.
Well, I think my dad was picking up that he had a spiritual experience because he was always up in the air. So imagine all those hours up in the air. I mean, you'd have to have some kind of spiritual experience or something going on, you know?
Some freedom.
Yeah. What it feels like. It's like, wow, this feels great. You know, how could I just give this up?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think, that was his form of spirituality then. I don't know, you know? It's not, it sounds very traumatic though for your mom.
Yeah, it really was, you know.
It's just horrible. And the kids and the kids, it's just, there has to be a lot of shame around that and fear, and it's just, what he left behind is just lifelong sentence to these people, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, another thing is he really wasn't close to his first dad. And I think he wanted to be closer to, you know, to have a father. He wanted a father, but it wasn't meant for him at that time. Like, my dad never had a mother, and, you know, and that was really hard for my dad, too, you know.
Yeah, my dad also didn't really have his mother around.
Uh-huh.
She died when he was 3, and when he tells the story, it's so traumatic. It's like,
wow.
He tells this story, you know, having a cab is a very special thing. So when they had this cab come over by their house, my dad was like, oh my God, there's something special going to happen because it's a cab. And he was very excited. And then his mom had cancer, and I don't think they told him that. But so she drove in that cab, and she never came back home. And so they took his mom away. And when I hear this story, it makes me cry because, first of all, he got excited, and then it was a lie, you know? His mom went there and never came back, you know what I mean? Like, this child never had a mom, didn't have anyone to cry to. I don't know. He's very lonely.
Wow.
And then he started drinking at age 17 and never stopped.
Uh-huh.
And he married my mom, and, you know, my mom was an okay, happy person, but then when she married my dad, she became unhappy.
Hmm.
And,
So you did much joy to her then.
Sorry?
So he didn't bring much joy to her then, William Kennedy?
No, he abused her a lot, and he abused everybody in the family, and just was a big mess in the house. He was a hard worker. And
wow.
So, yeah, so all this trauma and lots of abuse, you know, lots of abuse. Emotional, physical, just a lot of beating and anger and domestic violence, you know, all of that. It's just a lot. And then, you know, my parents are still together. So maybe, you know, I don't know if that's good or bad, but they're still together. I don't think my dad would have stuck it out for so long without my mom, you know. I mean, uh-huh. they definitely turned into each other. I mean.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's another pretty, like, I don't think life is glamorous at all, you know. It's just it's something you have to live through and learn your lessons, and then you can check out and have faith that you are okay, you're going to be okay in the end.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because my friend always tells me that in the end it's always... that it always boils down that we're going to be okay and be safe and...
Yeah.
We have the guides and angels there, you know, helping us.
Yeah, helping us here and there, and that this isn't the easiest reality to live in, you know? It just isn't.
It's not.
No.
It's hard.
It's hard. So
very difficult.
The fact that we're even here is, whoa, you know? And the fact that we want to do it without having an addiction, yeah, you know, okay, let's face reality. How much of it can we handle without, why even bother, you know? But
you know, a lot of people say that life is as hard as you make it. That's not true, because a lot of people don't have a choice. That they've lost their children. They don't have a choice that somebody molested their child. You know, they don't have those choices.
No, exactly. They don't even know how to deal with it when it comes to that. It's like some parents just completely numb out. They think that that's the way to deal with the kid, and it makes it worse, you know.
Exactly.
And it just, I mean, yeah, who chooses that? It just comes into your lap, but... The truth is that that's a generational thing. Like, if that happened to your child, it came from either a grandmother or the mother itself that hasn't healed that, you know? Because it's being passed on. So, I mean, I do believe in that. It can't be just... Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of... A generational thing.
Yeah.
Do you think it's okay for me to change my name and go back to this old sports club, or should I just move on? I mean.
Well, if it's not working for you, then it'd probably be the best for you to move on, you know, kind of like with me, I want to go out and meet somebody close by, but it seems like every time I go to this one club, it's like some days it works for me and other days it don't. But then I question myself, it's like, am I wasting my time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you're not getting a return, then what's the point? I mean, it's nice to get out, but you can get out anywhere. You can go anywhere where you don't feel like you're wasting your energy or your time.
Yeah, I mean, I know my teacher, so sometimes I take his class. I go back to the old club and take his class, and it's just, it's really good. I could just go there and give him some money and continue to take his class every month at least once or so, you know?
Uh-huh.
That I can do with some, because I don't want to just take it for free all the time. But they fired one of the best teachers there, too. So I think there's something wrong with that club. There's something off. Like, how could you fire a teacher that has a huge amount of followers?
Wow, really?
Huge amount of followers. He was going all over the New York City. And he got fired. And, yeah, it's a strange club.
Hmm. It is strange.
So.
Maybe there's a bad vortex there.
I think there's a bad vortex there because other people have complained, too. Everybody has this weird attitude and... I've heard other girls say, like, wannabe models, everyone, no one is kind or smiles at each other. It's like everybody treats each other so cold.